commencement season is upon us, and the hashtag Black and Hooded caught our attention here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. About a year ago, a pair of UW-Madison alums created a movement among African-American students to celebrate the accomplishments of Black students completing master's and doctoral-level degrees. They launched hashtag Black and Hooded, and it took off with many students posting graduation photos, past and present. We wanted to explore the numbers behind this movement as many universities look inward this time of year to ask, how well are we doing in graduating a diverse class of students, and why do talented minority students opt not to pursue graduate school? Karen Butler-Puri thinks about these questions a lot as chair of the Council of Graduate Schools Board of Directors, and she's also Associate Vice Provost for Graduate Studies at Texas A&M University. Karen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So how are African-American students faring at the graduate level today? Can you give us a bit of a brief overview?
Well, I would say that definitely the representation is increasing. It's slow but steady. In fall of 2016, about 12% of the domestic graduate students were Black. And degree attainment in master's for Blacks at about 13.7%, and doctoral about 6.5% of the domestic doctoral degrees were awarded to Blacks.
What is known about retention and graduation rates? What did the numbers tell us there?
Well, I mean, the numbers, you know, certainly say, you know, that there is a gap between white students and Black students. And for example, the completion rate for Blacks, and a 10-year completion rate in doctorals is about 47%, whereas it's 57% overall and about 55% for white students. Much lower, though, in the science, engineering, and math and social science.
Why is it lower in STEM fields?
I think some of the different issues relate to the smaller representation, and therefore you have, you know, more isolating experiences. I think you also find, you know, less diversity in terms of the faculty, and when students aren't able to see, you know, people who look like them, it's a little harder to perhaps aspire to want to do that.
Let's talk about attrition, because attrition rates are a problem across the board in higher education, talking about the students who drop out of their programs, who don't make it through a graduate degree program. You've just been saying about how a high percentage of all PhD candidates at the national level drop out of grad school. How does attrition compare between Black and white students?
I think, again, it's higher, you know, for Black students. Thinking about master's programs, well, even in doctoral programs, I think the first year is a crucial year. You know, quite often it's a time when students determine whether or not it's the right fit. And, you know, I guess, look inward and sort of determine, is this what I want to do? And a lot of times the environment has something, you know, to do with whether or not they believe they, you know, can be successful there. And so we find first semester, second semester of that first year are, you know, then the times when, you know, we experience the highest attrition rates. But looking at the numbers overall, in master's programs, 2 years, the gap is, you know, between, say, 5% to 7% between Blacks and whites.
Let's look at that. Yeah, let's look at that a little more. What are some of the reasons for not being the right fit, the reasons why minority grad students leave at a higher rate?
Well, I think, you know, as I mentioned, if you find an environment where, you know, perhaps, you know, there is some unconscious bias and you sort of get this feeling that you have to prove that you're worthy to be there. If, you know, you know, if you are not able to persevere through that, then you actually could be doing well. And you may think, well, this is not for me. You know, this is not, you know, we say the fit, but it's really, this is not the place that has provided the supportive environment for me to feel as if I can be successful there. And, you know, I can use as my own example, when I finished my bachelor's degree and I went to a large, predominantly white university, and I had graduated top of my undergraduate class. And when I was working on my schedule with the graduate advisor, he said, you know, well, there's this other new black graduate student in the department, and she finished at MIT. And while you have better grades than her, she has higher GRE scores. Mm. And so to me, what he was saying is, it really didn't matter that I had graduated top of my class and I had great grades. The fact that my GRE scores were lower meant that I didn't deserve to be there, or maybe I couldn't be successful there. And so I think a lot of it, you know, has to do with the kind of environment that, you know, students go into, and, you know, whether or not it allows them to demonstrate whether or not they can be successful versus kind of pushes them to prove they just deserve to be there.
What do you think of the Black and Hooded movement?
I really, really applaud the effort, because I think it brings some visibility to the situation. And it says that there are Black students who are getting graduate degrees, and here we are. And then maybe, you know, through that, we can sort of generalize things, and people will, you know, professors and, you know, administrators and others at universities will think it's more common. And hopefully then students, you know, can, you know, start their programs with, you know, what many other students start with, which is essentially a clean slate and the opportunity to essentially just, you know, demonstrate what they can do there.
We're talking with Karen Butler-Puri, and she is the chair of the Council of Graduate Schools Board of Directors and Associate Vice Provost for Graduate Studies at Texas A&M University, talking about the graduate level programs and how African American students are doing today in completing master's and doctoral level degrees. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a Black graduate student? What was your experience? What's it been like so far? Has it met your expectations, or have things been different than you expected? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Karen, let's talk for a moment about how universities are really embattled in court cases for considering race as a factor in admissions decisions. Almost a year ago, we learned how the Justice Department was starting up this division to look at suing universities over affirmative action. Has diversity in graduate programs been impacted by this politically fraught climate around affirmative action?
Well, I think that at least I can speak, you know, for Texas, it's, you know, been decades since we've, you know, had to really look at how we try to increase diversity, you know, at our universities, because, of course, we had, you know, the Hopwood decision many years ago, and so we're not able to use race as a factor in admissions. But I think that, first of all, I want to say that I think there's a lot of data that says that being educated in a diverse environment improves the quality of education for all students. And certainly, you know, as educators, then, you know, many of us, we want to help to see that become the reality for our students. And so universities are looking for ways to create partnerships and other types of relationships to try to then address, you know, the improvement of diversity within their campuses and stuff like that. Certainly, we're under scrutiny on a regular basis. But, you know, we believe that it's a value, you know, that is worth fighting for. And, you know, just looking for ways within, you know, the law to do that.
A report last year by the Council of Graduate Schools found that there have been healthy increases in first-time graduate school enrollment by underrepresented minorities. However, minority students remain substantially underrepresented, particularly, as Karen mentioned there, in STEM fields. We're talking about the pipeline for Black students achieving graduate degrees here on The Morning Show. Karen Butler-Puri is chair of the Council of Graduate Schools Board of Directors. She's also associate provost for graduate and professional studies at Texas A&M University. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Did you go to the UW or another predominantly white school? What was that like for you? Are you a Black graduate student who just finished your degree? How do you feel? What is your Black and Hooded story? You can call in 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation after this news update on the Ideas Network. Recent research points out that while progress has been made, African Americans remain significantly underrepresented among recipients of doctoral degrees. And then without more persons of color earning advanced degrees, there will remain an inadequate supply of underrepresented minority faculty. So this really perpetuates a lack of diversity across college campuses. We're talking about this on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Karen Butler-Puri stays with us. She chairs the Council of Graduate Schools Board of Directors, and she's Associate Provost for Graduate and Professional Studies at Texas A&M. Your questions, your stories are welcome at 800-642-1234. Are you a Black professor or an academic? What is your perspective on the underrepresentation of Black students in grad school? You can call in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sierra called in to say it's not just about making the higher education environment welcoming to diverse graduate students, but about helping students succeed in life after they graduate. Karen, let's talk about that a little bit. What is it like for graduate students who land tenure-track professorships? What are those job prospects like?
Well, I think that there are, you know, opportunities in various types of institutions, you know, for graduates with PhDs who want to pursue academic careers. I think one of the challenges is it may not be, at a Research One institution, if that's what you're looking for. It may, you know, be at a less research intensive, but still, highly, you know, teaching, or so it varies. And I think sometimes, there's not the fit for what the student wants. But I do think that there are quite a bit of opportunities, but yes, there are, ones who are graduating with PhDs who want to have faculty positions who cannot. And so there is a lot of emphasis throughout the country at, you know, graduate programs to provide what we call, you know, then these transferable skills, which, you know, are, you know, skills that, you know, allow you to work in, you know, various types of professions. And, you know, the idea is then if that student who wants to be in an academic career, if that is not one that materializes, then they have, you know, skills that allow them to be, to work in, you know, various types of industry. And so more so now, I think, than ever before, there's a consciousness in, you know, not just developing the graduate students for faculty positions, well, PhD graduates mm-hmm. for faculty positions. And there is a lot more career development, you know, going on and helping the students really, you know, kind of have a more realistic view from the very beginning of, you know, the opportunities that are out there and then the kind of skills that they need to work on beyond just their, you know, academic pursuits, you know, through their curriculum.
What about role models and all of this? You used the word isolating on your path to a PhD. How does the number of faculty members of color and other mentors impact students considering graduate programs or who are in these graduate programs?
I think certainly, one in maybe aspiring, to go to graduate school as an undergraduate student, you need others, to recognize your potential and encourage you. And it's not to be said that, that would only come from someone who looks like you, but I think you also need to see someone who looks like you in certain roles to maybe know that that's achievable. And then I think, as then a graduate student, many times when you are experiencing certain kinds of microaggressions or unconscious bias and other kinds of things, sometimes you need to be able to talk to someone, and you don't have to, sort of explain to them that it's real, because they can relate and know that it's real. And so then you can just sort of tell your story of what's going on, and they can just help you, try to prevail through it. But, quite often, maybe when others haven't had your experience, then they try to trivialize what you're feeling and say, well, maybe you're being oversensitive. That probably really wasn't what they meant, and all those other kind of things. So needing to have, a safe space that you can go to and be able to share what's happening, and then I guess go back out there and, continue fighting is extremely important. So we do need, faculty of color, to help, be the role models, but then also to help also provide some of that, support that the students need.
So let's look at some solutions that universities are turning to out there that you've seen in helping Black students succeed, get through grad school, and achieve those master's and doctoral degrees. There isn't an easy fix, but for example, what is Texas A&M doing?
So, at Texas A&M, Well, one of the things that we're trying to do is, first of all, increase our numbers. And so we are looking to build partnerships with undergraduate programs in our Texas A&M system and also at other universities in the state, because one, having a critical mass is helpful. So one, we're doing that, and we have different types of programs, from internal funding for fellowships, but likewise through federal agency types of programs that we are involved in, like the National Science Foundation Alliance for Graduate Education and Professorial Program. Also, we have various programs at the university level and also within our departments that are trying to build community spaces for the students. So different types of peer networks where more senior graduate students perhaps mentor junior graduate students, and faculty mentoring students. So really trying to create sort of an environment that is supportive. And then also we have some programs where we are trying to improve and develop, the mentoring of faculty, because that is a very, very critical part of this. The students really need also, faculty advisors to be supportive, of them and understand, the unique experiences that they bring and value and appreciate those.
What about loans, student debt? Is the debt burden today, have you seen that diminishing Black prospective graduate students from going to that next step, from pursuing the master's and doctoral degrees?
Yes, I think that is definitely the case. The data does show that African-American graduate students are more likely, to have to owe more than $100,000 in educational loans, combining the undergraduate and graduate loans together. And so that, definitely can be a deterrent. And many times in, families, it's hard to support maybe, taking out those loans, to start with. And so it is definitely a major barrier. And so one of the things that we really need to do is work on, encouraging, the continuation of, funding, for graduate education. So those students who come to the table with undergraduate loans don't have to pile up large graduate loans in order to do that. And it could seem more achievable for them.
And then when you layer on perhaps a first generation student whose family is going through this process for the first time, this can be real foreign and really scary to see this debt adding up.
Exactly. You think about $100,000 loan can, seem monumental. Yes. to think to have to pay that over a lifetime, you know, in addition to just, you know, the regular living expenses that one would have when they finish their degree. So, yes, I think it could definitely seem monumental. And, you know, you see perhaps students then trying to the juggle, you know, working along with doing that so that they would not have to, you know, take out as many loans. And in some situations, it is perhaps better to just pursue the degree full time.
Karen, as we wrap up here, what would you encourage schools and universities do today to help students of color succeed? What can we learn?
Well, I think that, you know, I think first and foremost have to acknowledge, you know, that we, you know, have perhaps, you know, a climate that is not supportive, and every climate is unique. And so there is really not a one fix, you know, type of thing. And so we have to look inward and we have to try to, you know, determine those barriers, you know, that we have that really prevent those students who come into our programs. And then the other thing is we have to look at our admissions and we have to, you know, try to see if we have barriers there that are maybe disadvantaging the admission of students coming from, you know, smaller universities or coming from minority serving institutions or, you know, coming from, you know, not big name universities or something. But we have to work to try to be more inclusive in our admissions and then really work to create environments that are supportive, I would say, for all students, because when we make it, you know, better for Black students, we're making it better for all students.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And I definitely want to congratulate the Black and Hooded efforts.
Karen Butler-Puri is chair of the Council of Graduate Schools Board of Directors and Associate Provost for Graduate and Professional Studies at Texas A&M. She joined us to consider why minority students are so underrepresented in graduate studies. Coming up, we're going to talk with one of the founders of the Black and Hooded movement, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you a Black graduate student? What was your experience been like so far? Has it met your expectations, or have things been different than you expected? Are you a Black grad student who's finished your degree? What is your Black and Hooded story? Call in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. They were the best of friends as undergrads, and they launched a social media tag last year that went viral. They wanted to show that Black master's and doctoral students not only exist, but they graduate. We're talking about the movement Black and Hooded with its co-founder, Anthony Wright, who launched Black and Hooded alongside Brian Allen. It's evolved into a scholarship fund, a professional network. Anthony Wright is a graduate of UW-Madison. He earned his master's in higher education administration at Indiana University. He's now a career advisor at the Wisconsin School of Business here at UW-Madison. Anthony, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Well, tell us this story about you starting Black and Hooded. How did you come up with this idea, and did you realize what it was that you were actually coming up with?
Sure. So when I was at Indiana, I worked as a graduate assistant as a part of my program, and I was fortunate enough to have a staff of 7 undergraduate students, and half of them being Black. So I thought that was a really cool experience for me to have and for them to have as well. I didn't know how much it would have impacted them. But in a wrap-up conversation, like a one-on-one that we had at the end of the year before I was graduating, one of the students told me that, you know, she was really appreciative of not only me, but the other Black graduates at Indiana University who were very hands-on with mentorship, going to events, different climate issues that happened on campus. And we were like kind of spearheading that through our Black graduate student organization. And she just never really had anyone to kind of like look up to in that regard, as far as like being a graduate student, being a Black graduate student, and kind of got her to think about what she wanted to do after she graduated, because she was a senior at the time. And so that kind of got me thinking about, you know, I didn't have really any representation either from individuals in my family or elsewhere about grad school. I was first gen undergrad. and also first-gen graduate student as well, and kind of just wanted to bring about some representation for other people who are in a similar position as I was and as my student is or was at the time, in order for them to kind of see more Black graduate students and like the programs and stuff that they were going into. And so Brian was in Columbia at the time, going to school, pursuing his master's as well, and just shot him a text and just like, you know, it would be cool like if we start like a social media hashtag or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, the hashtag was only supposed to be for Black men, so which was a change that came about after I pitched the idea to my student. Mind you, again, she's a Black woman. She was like, nah, like,
gotta
get everyone in there. and so after about like 50 edits of the hashtag, and then changing the scope from being like just Black male focused to just Black identifying focused, we eventually came up with Black and Hooded, pushed it out to our respective networks to see if people would actually like participate. And people did, and it was great. So Indiana was actually one of the first grad school or schools to graduate during that grad year.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we had like 40 submissions or something like that. And then after that, the next week we had over 100 submissions, and it kind of just kept building throughout. So it was a cool time.
Help us understand a little bit more about the symbolism in the words Black and Hooded, because hooded means, of course, that at the master's and doctoral levels, you don't get the cap, you get a hood. So, but there's also more meaning in that with Trayvon Martin.
Exactly. So Black and Hooded, again, like you get the hood once you receive your master's degree. And that is like a really big accomplishment and stuff. And it really does separate you out from like undergraduate students. But again, like being Black and in a hood does have, unfortunately, a negative connotation by like the media and others, especially after or during this time of heightened police brutality and it being more visible, starting with Trayvon Martin. One of the things that were, I guess that was always discussed in his trial and like why he deserved to essentially like be killed was, you know, he was this suspicious looking like Black man in a hoodie walking around this neighborhood. Again, like no reasons for him to have been murdered by George Zimmerman. But again, that negative connotation that's associated with being Black and in a hood is kind of what sparked our interest to kind of bring those or change the negative narrative into a positive one by associating Black and Hooded with being Black and a master's or doctoral degree recipient.
What surprised you by the way people have responded to your initial hashtag now you're that a year into it?
I think just I'm surprised that it's still going because I think that the one thing we thought about with hashtags is that they oftentimes like after you know, after graduation season last year, we were like, okay, it's going to kind of like die out. Especially when grad season isn't happening, it's really mm-hmm. easy for like people to not use it anymore
not
or just kind of like
it.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
But I think where we were really fortunate last year is that we did get some traction from different like news outlets and stuff like that, which I guess kind of made the message a little bit larger and allowed people to kind of get excited for this year. And so I remember last year there were a lot of people saying like, oh, I can't wait to hashtag this on like my next picture. And like you would think like just hashtagging something isn't like a big deal, but people were really like into it.
They responded. Anthony Wright is with us. He's a career advisor at the Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison. We're talking about the Black and Hooded movement. Your story as well, 800-642-1234. Are you a Black grad student who just finished your degree? How do you feel? What's your Black and Hooded story? Call in back after this news update on the Ideas Network. The goal of Black and Hooded is to increase the visibility of Black students in higher education and to create more of a network going forward The hashtag literally refers to university hooding ceremonies for grad students, where a student's cap is replaced with a hood to signify the master or doctoral level completion. But there's also this deeper meaning in symbolizing racial profiling that we've been talking about. Recall the hoodie that Trayvon Martin wore in 2012 when he was shot and killed in a Florida gated subdivision. We're talking with the co-founder of the Black and Hooded movement, Anthony Wright, here on The Morning Show. He received his master's from Indiana University, and he's a career advisor at the Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a first-generation graduate degree student? How has being the first one in your family to go to grad school affected your education? Were you a first-gen college student who also went on to grad school? What do you think universities can do to be more accessible to Black and other minority groups? You can call in or email ideas at WPR.org. So, Anthony, when you decided to establish a scholarship fund and grow it into something beyond social media, how did that take shape?
I feel like a lot of the work that Brian and I did was kind of like a, not a spur of the moment thing, but one of those things where it would be like, wouldn't it be cool if we did this. So like that's how the hashtag started itself. After the hashtag was the network database that we established. So if anyone goes to like blackandhooded.com and wants to connect with other Black graduate students, both current graduate students and those who've graduated across disciplines, across the world, we have some folks over in the UK and a couple people in Australia who also filled out the networking form. People can get connected with those people. Kind of like see, I don't know what they would do with that information, but just like contact and try to like get to know these individuals. And then the scholarship kind of came about the same way of like in my master's program anyway, they always preach that you have this platform, you're getting this degree, like what are you going to do with it to help the people who you want to help or like to serve the people that you want to serve? Ultimately for me, I think in my profession that I would love to go into retention work for underrepresented minority students. And through, I guess, like this platform that we have with hashtag Black and Hooded, that was another way for me to kind of like go about doing that. And so the scholarship came about where we were like, let's put our money where our mouth is, essentially. Let's try to raise some funds in order to help to help alleviate some financial issues that most graduate students have. And then we kind of just started a scholarship fundraising campaign and raised a little over $2,000 and was able to award four $500 scholarships.
What has been your favorite response or favorites that you've gotten in response to the Black and Hooded hashtag on social media? What stuck with you?
Yeah, there's one that for sure stuck with me. I was actually in attendance for this graduation where a guy was graduating with his master's, but his mom was also supposed to graduate that same day with her PhD. And she forgone her own graduation to go to her son's graduation. And so the son actually, when he was caught on stage, like stopped everything and had his mom join him on the stage and like brought out her cap and gown and like her regalia and everything and like had her like put it on in front of everyone and like walked with them. And it was just like a really beautiful moment.
Wow, that is so cool.
Yeah.
Paul in Eau Claire emailed to ask, are you concerned at all that Black and Hooded could be seen as divisive, perhaps even counterproductive? He says, since African Americans are declaring themselves as quote unquote others under this movement.
I don't think that we are declaring ourselves as others or that it's divisive in any way. I think that a lot of people looking at this movement or even like movements such as like Black Lives Matter or anything of that nature are always seeing it from a place of detriment or that we're coming at it as like a, you know, this is a negative that we're turning positive. Whereas we're merely just celebrating the accomplishments of our Black graduates. Again, like the numbers show that, you know, there aren't many of us in higher education at the undergraduate and graduate levels for that matter. We see nothing wrong with kind of just like showing that and celebrating the Black graduates that we do have. Because again, representation matters. And that's pretty much what we're trying to push.
Is it difficult when your professors are white, your advisors are white, the support systems around you the mentors are scarce. Does that make an impact?
Absolutely. I think that you can even see it in, our current work right now at UW. So, there's a lot of scholarship programs at UW-Madison at the undergraduate level. And students oftentimes stick to their scholarships when it comes to seeking advising or seeking resources like that, because oftentimes the people who are working in those spaces are people that look like them. But when it comes to the actual environments of the institution, whether it be their college or their places of employment, they can't really seek those resources because people are afraid to reach out and seek those things out from other people who don't look like them, especially with faculty going to office hours, for example. Or even just the small things of just asking questions in class can definitely be an impact or of impact to a student's experience.
Anthony Wright, what needs to change at the collegiate level, at the grad school level, to be able to really ensure that more Black students can fulfill these master's degrees, can get those doctoral degrees?
I think that schools oftentimes stress a lot about the recruitment piece. So we want to get people in and that's fantastic. But when we get to these places, the systems that are in place are not built to actually have us be retained and develop while we're in these programs. So I think as much emphasis that has been put on recruitment needs to be put on retention as well. Putting in, whether it be mental health, counseling opportunities, hiring more diverse staff and faculty members. Just having more systems in place in order to make sure that students are actually feeling comfortable, feeling retained, and have that support amongst their entire program and the university is going to be important, because you can get as many people in as you want, and then they'll leave or they won't have
attrition.
Good
is a huge issue.
Exactly. And yeah. Then they graduate and then would never recommend to another student to go to this program based off of their experience.
What is your story like? You mentioned you were a first generation graduate student. What was that like for you to make that decision to go on to grad school and knowing that you were really basically finding your own path there on your own?
Yeah, it was a very last minute decision. So I was a business school student in undergrad. But didn't really like corporate America business stuff, but still knew that I needed to incorporate business into something that I wanted to do, and also knew that I liked working with college students or just working in a college environment, and wanted to be able to help specifically, again, underrepresented minority students in their college experience. And so I found out that higher education and student affairs was a master's degree program, again, my fall semester of my senior year. Thank you, Ilse May, who was my old supervisor at the time.
Shout out to her.
She walked me through the GRE and stuff, and then kind of got me into my program at Indiana, where she's also an alum. But as soon as I got there, I think that my issues or the issues that I faced weren't the same as an undergrad, where, you have to learn how to budget your money, or where do I go for academic advising, or what is an office hour, it was more so how does this degree help me in my future in comparison to an undergraduate degree? For that matter, also, I think that being a higher ed master's student, you're kind of in a weird quasi-professional student identity, where you have a lot of say over things that happen systemically within the university at the grad level. But you're still a student and you're still under those systems that that are impacting your undergraduate.
Oh, you have
students.
More voice, a little bit more influence.
Right. So in my position and at Indiana, student affairs is a really big thing there. And working in housing as an academic graduate assistant, I again had my staff and I seen the things that they were facing within housing. As being underrepresented or majority Black students, and how could I make their living situation, their work experience, their time at the university more impactful, while at the same time I'm going through very similar things at the graduate level through my program, and through the social environments that you have to navigate at Indiana or at any institution. So trying to figure out how to be an advocate for them and also like finding ways to advocate for myself in the same way.
How have your experiences there at Indiana affected the way you approach your job now here at the UW as someone, you know, whose students are turning to you for advice?
I really think that Indiana prepared me a lot in order to be more of an advocate and more of a push for the social change that I want to see at the institutional level. I think that being in the Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison, which the university itself is less diverse than Indiana is, and definitely within the Wisconsin School of Business, I think that it's a little bit less diverse than like the university as a whole. Seeing like other students of color around and like the classes that I teach or in advising appointments, being more proactive with them and just saying like, hey, like, you know, I'm here for you, sending out like additional emails or like seeing them in the hallway, asking them to do like lunches or something like that. Like
checking in.
Very informal mm-hmm. things that make like a really big difference in the grand scheme of things. It's something that I think is really important. Also finding ways to be more involved with other entities around campus that are already doing this work, but also like trying to bring that work to the business school or even just to like me as a professional to make sure that I'm staying abreast to like what's happening on campus, going to like diversity forums, making sure that I am keeping in contact with like my colleagues and the different scholarship programs. Just being proactive. I think it's really all about like being proactive.
As we wrap up here, what would you tell a Black undergrad who's considering going to graduate school but isn't sure it's a good idea or doesn't know where to even begin?
I would definitely say the power of networking for these programs specifically is definitely a huge thing that I definitely would like encourage them to do. Whether it be, say they don't have anyone to network with, I think that's why the network that we created kind of like exists.
At Black and Hooded.
Exactly, mm-hmm. at blackandhooded.com for students or for, you know, professionals who don't have those people in their lives that they can kind of like reach out to, but have an idea of what they want to go into and want to talk to someone a little bit further about their like experience and their journey through higher education. Also just doing like a quick Google search of, hey, this is what I'm interested in. Like, what does this mean as far as like grad school goes? Because for higher education, for example, I didn't know that that existed until I just thought it was people getting like communications majors and stuff like that.
Well, Anthony, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Anthony Wright is co-founder of the social media movement Black and Hooded, which celebrates and supports Black graduate students. He's also career advisor at the Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison. Earlier, we were joined by Karen Butler-Puri of Texas A&M University. This hour was produced by Colleen Leahy, Brianne Shasso, Sarah Hopeful, and Ideas Network Director Cheryl Gasser. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network.